Art. So this is the Ohio Writers Guild, and we hold hands with a newbie bloggers group as well. So Sandy Kachurik, which you see on your screen, is my co-host, my co-mod with the Ohio Writers Guild. And Sally Sutter is my co-host, co-mod with the newbie bloggers. And Sally is a blogger. And so I'm going to tell just briefly a little bit about me and what I do, and then I'm going to let Sandy talk for just a moment. I want to get to Kathy today because we've two Kathys on the call, but spelled differently. And I know Kathy basically from how many years ago, Kathy? We know each other, oh gosh, since when did you first meet Carrie?
7 years ago.
All right, so about the same time. So Kathy and I go back about 7 years, give or take. It might have been the following year that we actually met, but she was one of the original authors under a program that I sat under. And so Kathy, and I want to get back around to what I was talking about. But Kathy, how many books do you have now?
Seven.
Okay. I only have two. I have one coming out in April. So Kathy's way ahead of me. Anyway, we're going to get to talk to her. But in the meantime, I am Kathy Benner. I'm a passive income mentor, and I have an academy called the Kathy Benner International Academy. And one of my lanes, of course, is authors and writers. And so I am simply, and I haven't pulled up any of this, so bear with me because I did not do this ahead of time, and I should have, and I didn't because I was crazy busy this morning. So I'm going to pull this up so that you can see. This is, and I'm going to put it here on public. This is actually the homepage of the Academy so that you all can see it. And when you scroll down here to the more page, you will see all of our lanes. And here is the authors and writers. I'm going to click on the authors and writers. And this top blue button is where you get to all of our replays. And then here is the actual course. And we are talking about writing from anywhere in the world and helping you to get published. So I'm going to open that just to show you what we have there. And of course, I've got so many darn windows open that I didn't get closed earlier, so it's slow to open. But who? It's anyone wanting to write what? It's an online course. When you can do it on your own schedule, where you can complete it wherever you happen to be. I'm a passive income mentor, and my claim to fame is I want to work from anywhere in the world. I don't want to be tied to a brick and mortar these days, only because I was for so many years. And so I'm rebelling. And why? Because you want to write. And so that's what this is all about. But here are the topics that are covered. And today we are talking about publishing your book to online retailers. That is our topic for today. And so then when you scroll, well, here's our calendar link that shows all of our events. Here's how you can get into the Zoom call like you're into today. That's where you register. And then when you scroll on down, here is the entire curriculum, how to write from anywhere in the world. And here is, let's see if I can find it because I didn't get set up ahead of time. I'm a little behind. Here we are, publishing your book to online retailers. And so I'm going to click on this, and this is all of the information that you need. And it talks about preparing your manuscript. And we're going to talk about all of this with Kathy. I just wanted to show everyone on the call where to find it. And then how to design an eye-catching book cover. It gives you information there. How to obtain your ISBN and your address copyright. It talks about that. How to choose your online retailers, where it is that you want to put your book, and formatting your manuscript for a digital publishing. And we talk about ebooks, all kinds of things there. And then how to optimize the metadata and the keywords, how to get folks to find your book. So again, and then uploading your book and the cover, actually physically doing the upload and then reviewing it and publishing it. And finally, how are you going to market it? And what other communities can you get involved in? So I just want to show you that all of that is there, okay? And again, I'm not going to read it to you. I just want you to see that you can go to the Academy and find all of that information. So when we finally circle around to Kathy, do you pronounce it Studer or Stutter?
Studer.
Studer. That's what I thought. I just didn't want to pronounce it incorrectly.
That's
When we
okay.
get around to Kathy Studer, I have several questions for her, and we're going to talk about how she actually published her book. And again, for those of you that are new on the call that may have never tapped in before, let me just give an overarching view of publishing. You have traditional publishing on one end, you have self-publishing on the other end, and you have a million and one hybrids in the middle. Okay. Everything from vanity presses to, you know, you get it. So just know that none is wrong, you know, and if you're going to use anything in the middle, which I have, which Kathy Studer has, if you use something in the middle, just make sure that it's legitimate, because there's some scams out there. And just be careful that you don't, you know, accidentally tap into a scam. We've got a couple other folks here. I just want to make sure that everybody has the option to chat with us. All right. So 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 of us. 9, 10. Okay. So everybody is on and can chat. Okay. So Sandy, I'm going to turn it over to you now for a few moments and tell us what it is that you do. And Sandy just got an award. I just saw it on her social media. So Sandy, tell us about that.
Thank you very much. Hi, everyone. I'm Sandy. I live here in Springfield, Ohio. And a couple years ago, Kathy invited me on to talk about a workshop that I direct called Into the Springs. It's the first weekend in August, and it's at the Mills Park Hotel in Yellow Springs, Ohio. And if you don't know Yellow Springs, by all means, look it up. It in itself is a postcard that helps advertise the writing workshop. It's one weekend, it's in one space, and I only choose about two or three featured guests who stay the whole weekend from Friday evening to Saturday to Sunday lunch. So if you have any question at any time about any of the process of writing that my guests, and most of them can answer, they're there. They're waiting for you. This past year was amazing. I had a couple who, two mystery folks who got together before the workshop and made sure that the sessions they were talking about coincided, and they'd never met that way before. And you thought they'd work together forever. Mm-hmm. So it was good. And that's what I look for. This 2025, which will open January 1st with a discount until Valentine's Day, I am featured in it's August 1, 2, and 3. And I'm featuring a returnee. Woohoo! I've been around that long. It'll be my 7th year. And it's Juliet Hyland. She's in her 15th published book for Harlequin. So yes, she's a romance writer, but she does a lot of other types of writing as well. And she's going to talk about craft and polishing craft. From everywhere from tropes, which romance writers, that's mm-hmm. their flag that they fly with great ease, and it works for every genre, and some other things like what does it really mean to show, not tell? The other person I have is an agent. We're going to give her weekend, and I don't know if she realizes what she's in for, but I always ask, so what do you want to talk about? What kind of sessions do you want? And yes, she says she will hear pitches as well, but finally we get something from somebody who knows her way around query letters. So that's what's coming up. I'm here, a couple fill-ins helping Kathy along. And then she says, hey, would you stick around kind of and be a co-host? I go, sure. Because in the writing world, what you do connected to writing helps. No matter if how you might think it doesn't, it does. So when I put co-host to the Ohio Writers Guild Zoomcast here monthly, well, that says something about the fact that I want to be heard and seen as a writer. So that's why I'm here. I enjoy it. A little side note, my construction workers have gone on lunch. And if they come back before we're done and you hear those drills going on, I will mute. But otherwise, I think I'm in the clear. Thank you very much, Kathy, for having me once again.
Yes.
Good to see you.
Thank you, Sandy. Yeah, that's fun. I live in a construction zone all the time. I have rental properties.
I
That's my
bet.
passive income, so I get it.
Yes, for
I
sure.
want to now switch over to Sally. Sally, tell us a little bit about you and what you do, and tell us a little bit about your blog for those that want to start a blog. That's a great way to start writing, by the way. That's a good way
It
to
is.
kind of, get your legs under you in writing and also, find out. Oh, yeah, Sandy, you didn't tell us about your award. We'll come back. Go ahead, Sally.
Okay, so my name's Sally Sutter. I live very close to Kathy, in outside of Canal Winchester. I am a travel agent. I own my own travel agency. It's been a rough few years, but you persevere and you get by. And actually, that's when I started writing this blog. And I admit I'm not very what's the word? I'm on medicine for pain, so excuse me.
Yeah, Sally just had surgery. So, yeah, so speedy
Shoulder
recovery
surgery,
there,
yeah.
Sally.
So I'm not very prolific at it, but I do come up with different ideas. But my blog is called Embrace the Unexpected, because what does life give you? The unexpected all the time. And I started that. I used to be very, things had to go my way. Like you said, Kathy, it's my way or the highway. And I had a strict schedule I needed when we were traveling. Well, it doesn't work that way. And it took a while, hit home for me when we were going to, when there was a Windjammer Barefoot Cruises. When they were in business, we were supposed to go to the ABC Islands out of Trinidad. Well, it was late leaving. So the ship was late leaving. We got partway out of, into the water, and the motor split. So we spent most of the day waiting to be tugged back into the port, and ended up going to the Leeward Islands instead of the ABC Islands. And I would not want to have been that one person who was taking care of everybody, rearranging their flights. We had a choice of kind of a lottery because we were going to be moved to a much smaller ship. So there was a lottery whether we actually went on another ship, different direction, or went to Aruba. And we actually got on the ship that went to the Leeward Islands. And it was a marvelous experience. When you saw things you didn't expect to see. So you just embrace what's given you, because it might turn out to be better than you were planning for. So, and that's hard for people to, that really is hard for people to embrace. So from that time on, I was more flexible in my plans. I just, everything might be better than what you were expecting, and just go with the flow. So that's the name of my blog. That has to do, and sometimes I post about travel. Sometimes I post about just life experiences, and I've had lots of those, like everybody else has. This time I'm thinking about doing if you're sitting around thinking, oh, I wonder if, like, so my first thing was that I thought of, because I do this all the time, I wonder if you can dry herbs in an air fryer. The answer is yes, you absolutely can. I wonder if you should get trip insurance. Yes, just intersperse personal things with travel things. So I thought I'd do that next time I posted a blog. Just, this seems kind of off the mark, but what question was, I wonder if you can clean plastic aquarium plants in the dishwasher. No, that's a no.
And how
Hard
do we
no.
know this, Sally? Did you actually try
No, I don't know. I Google, but the air fryer does a great job drying herbs, especially with oregano and basil. But no, you just have that curiosity. Yeah, so
I
you
love
wonder
it.
if these things. So that's and like I said, some things are very personal. When I turned 70, when I turned 69, now I'm 71 now, but heading quickly towards 72. It's just, and I've always been that way. Like Kathy, you and I have talked about, I made a cookbook for the kids, because it's always, Well, I wonder if I can make this. I wonder if I can, what happens if I use this to this recipe, you know? So I might have gotten off track. Again, blame pain pills,
No,
but.
I love it. I love it because what you're actually saying is that there are a million and one ideas to write about. So,
There are, yeah.
oftentimes when I do my blogger class, oftentimes the first question that I get is, "Well, what can I write about?" And I'm like, "Oh my goodness.
Yes.
What can
And
you
it
not
doesn't,
write about?"
like I said, it doesn't have to be about travel. It doesn't have to be travel with personal experiences. It's good. That's a good thing to blog about. But it's more important that you've come up with these different situations, are faced with these different situations, and this is how you can, what you can do to resolve those. Like when Ed, and this has been almost a year, Kathy, that he was attacked by the fire hydrant.
I
This was
remember that.
October 3rd. So in the course of that, I was leading a trip to New Orleans because I do a lot of senior motor coach trips for a senior center. So we were second day, we decided I should stop at a Buc-ee's because not a lot of people from Ohio know about Buc-ee's. And at the time I had a broken foot. So Ed was helping me, my husband was helping me off the bus. He turned around and we don't know exactly what happened, but he ended up on the ground. He had been the top of the fire hydrant, went through his shorts, went through his leg. It was just horrific. And it took us a long time to get over that. But in the course of that, the motor coach driver called the ambulance. So took him to the small hospital. We stitched him up. But we had to catch up with the bus that went on to New Orleans. Whoops. And in the process of that, we had to get a car. We had to figure these various things out, and he had to drive, believe it or not, because my right foot was broken. So
So
it's
you're
just,
saying you were really put to the test to embrace the unexpected.
yes. But knowing how to figure those things out is incredibly helpful. And I was so thankful for the technology that we have today. I can get on my phone, you know, get an Uber to take us to the rental car place. So it just educating yourself on that and knowing how to do those things. So we are all not too old to learn those things. So it's helpful to know.
Sally,
And
thank you so much.
that's something you can blog about.
Yes. Unlimited topics to blog about. So, and
Unlimited
again,
topics. And I usually do mine in Word first. So you can kind of just say whatever you want to say and then go back and shorten it up or finesse it. So that's a great way. Kathy's right. That's a great way to start writing.
yep, I love it. Now, depending on how often you blog and what kind of train of thoughts you have as you're blogging, you can actually turn your blog into a book later on. That's also an option. So keep that in mind. So I
And you
love
notice,
that.
Kathy, I've been posting more about trips that are coming up.
Yes. And it's a great way to that Sally can monetize her blog because she is a travel agent. So when she talks about travel, she can then just, you know, link them
It's an
right over to.
automatic thing.
Yeah. So that's a perfect way to optimize her blog. I want to jump back over to Sandy. Sandy, tell us briefly, what was your award that you just received?
I did put it in the chat, and it's interesting because I wanted to try this place. It was a the conference was is isn't was in its second year, and it was kind of similar to mine, in which folks stay in the same space, though they break up into one group goes to one session, another group goes to another. But they had a contest, and it because the conference was sponsored by a publishing company, a small one in the Berea, Kentucky area. They offered first time a writing contest, and the first prize was a publishing contract with Martin Sisters Publishing, and they had three, and they were just asking for the first 2,500 words of a novel. I could do that. I certainly have it sitting on my computer. So I popped it in. It was $25 to enter. And I thought, well, $25, it's a small company. That's doable, even if it's, I'll call it a donation if nothing else happens. So I was tickled that I had gotten third place out of the three prizes they were giving. And I was talking to the judge who liked the work, and she explained why it didn't get second place. And there was a transition that was a little fuzzy. And I go, ooh, great. So, and it also refreshed my love for this particular story. So I went home and I tinkered with it and tinkered with it. I think, wow, this sounds really good. So there are a lot of different reasons why I do things and how I do. And if it's within, how much of myself do I have to put out there? How brave do I have to be? And this, I could do that. And it was good. It was a good experience. Of course, it's always nice to get an award. And even if I hadn't, I would have been very happy to have done it nevertheless. So, yep, that's what
Well,
it is.
congrats, Sandy. I love that you did that. Now, for those that are listening, if you see a writers conference or summit or writers weekend, whatever, tap into those. Oftentimes, they're very inexpensive. Sometimes they're even free. And it's just huge to be sitting in a room with other authors and writers. And so I encourage all of you, if you've not been to any type of a writer's weekend or a writer's conference or even, even an online virtual writer's summit, to participate. And there are many that are online. Yes. Debbie, you have a question.
Yes. What was the book based on?
Well, that's kind of interesting. I like to write about women who are at a crossroads. They have choices to make, and where does that take them? And in this one, and I don't know, I like speculation. I like to put odd things in the story. So this gal, it's in the future, like almost the year, almost the next century. And it's a high-tech world. She is about 21, graduated from college, aiming to that high-tech situation, but she wants to be a dragon cop. They are little pygmy, tiny dragons, and only women can ride them. And here she is. That's what she really wants to be. But if she wants to go that route, she has to disappoint her family. She has to disappoint a boyfriend. She has to kind of turn her back on her town and all that sort of thing. So will she go with it? And and the story of the fact that these little pygmy dragons are from Greenland, and when the ice was melting, they discovered them still around. And matter of fact, my sister-in-law is on a cruise to Greenland, and I told her, take pictures, take details, make my story come alive. So yeah, so that's what that one turned out to be. Thanks for asking.
And I'm glad I did because I have my one granddaughter who reads nothing but dragon books.
Oh,
She
dragons alone.
loves dragons, absolutely loves them.
Oh, good.
And so you're going to have to let me know when that's kind
I
of,
will.
out there,
And
because I
that's
know
it
she'll love
too.
it. You
And
what?
that has pushed
Goes,
me.
yeah, and it just goes back to my point too, that you can write about so many different things. It's just unlimited the topics that you can write about. So, Sandy, I bet
Thank
you're
you.
excited to get back to your story now.
I
Yes.
am. This will be my last final rewrite is now, and when it's done, I'm going to find a professional editor to take one good look at it, fix anything there, and then it's got to go out the door. It can't just, it's not doing anything sitting on my laptop. So,
I
thanks,
love it.
everyone.
I love that. We are now going to move over to Kathy Studer. Now, Kathy
Yeah,
has
I can't
written a
wait.
book, yeah, Broken to Beautifully Whole. Kathy Studer shares her vulnerable childhood story and the step-by-step discovery process she walked through to finding healing. Now, finding her true purpose propelled her to become an author, a speaker, a facilitator, and it's allowed her to share with others the lessons she experienced along the way. And you've really created a whole business around this book. I want to ask a little bit first about where are you coming to us from? Where are you located, Kathy?
Galena, Ohio.
Okay, so not too terribly far from the rest of us. We're Central Ohio. Now, I know Linda is not in Ohio. I don't know about Dustin or Amelia or Sylvia. Not sure, where you guys are located. But anyway, Debbie's Ohio, Sally's Ohio, Sandy's Ohio. So yeah, so a lot of us here from Ohio. What inspired you to take that first step toward writing your story and actually sharing it with the world? We have some folks. Oh, Amelia said she's Toronto and in Canada. Yes, well, I love that. Thank you. Yeah, Sylvia's Columbus. Yep. Megan is New Albany, Ohio. Yeah, a lot of Ohio folks, and Canada's in the house, so good to know. We have a lot of folks on the call, and we'll listen to the call later, Kathy, that they want to write either a memoir, or they want to write their story, or they want to go forward. And what is it that actually inspired you to take that first step? What made you say, I need to write this story?
Well, if you would have told me 7 and a half, 8 years ago, I would write my very vulnerable story and share it with the world, I would have told you you're smoking something. That is not going to happen. But I will share. Hairstylist by trade, it was a conversation with my client who suffered from anxiety, depression, and PTSD, and I had no idea why. One day in my chair, she shared that she was a survivor of child sexual abuse. I then shared my story. I am a survivor of long-term child sexual abuse. And during our conversation, she looked me in the eye and she said, Kathy, why didn't you suffer to the degree that I did? First, let me share, I had a healing journey that took years, but I didn't suffer to her degree. At the end of the conversation, she looked me in the eye and she said, girlfriend, you need to write a book. Well, I laughed it off that day. I thought, I'm not going to write a book. But her question bugged me and it laid on me. And I reflected, introspected, took notes, and then I did massive research. 9 months later, I had the answer to her question. And with a calling with a purpose, again, that I never saw coming ever, I started to write and then publish my book, Broken to Beautifully Whole, which shares my healing journey and what I did, along with creating a call to action to defeating and preventing child abuse.
Wow. What I know and what you know and what many of our writers already know is when you write something that compelling, you almost have to relive the events. That could be even traumatic in itself. So that is so challenging. How did you find that process to be healing in some way?
It was incredibly healing, more healing than I ever thought it would be. Because, honest to goodness, the reason I wrote the book is because I was in an incredibly good place. And my client, unfortunately, was not. Yet, what I would learn through my healing was I still had a tiny piece of shame hanging on because of the fear of putting a book like that out into the world. What will people think of me? What will people say about me? Will they judge me? Because less than 10 people in the world knew my story. Obviously, when you publish, the world is going to know your story. And the gift is the amount of strength you gain from moving through it. And there were a lot of tears, I'm not going to lie. The first part of my book is not descriptive, yet you get the drift. I share the title of that section is Through the Eyes of the Child. And I wanted people to understand what it is like of a child that's going through trauma, what the child sees. And that's important if we're going to try to prevent or learn or understand in a better way. And I would take a couple hours throughout the week during the day, and I would write, and it was empowering. It really was. After the tears, it was a release, but at the same time, it was really valuable. And it is incredible after you finish how much stronger and how much more resilient you feel after sharing a story like that. And again, it was far more healing than I ever thought possible. And I was in a good place, but it was a gift. And it's been honored to say it's been a gift to others.
Well, speaking of a gift to others, when your customer brought it up to you that you should write a book, and you were kind of like, "Eh," at what point during that research, and what was there a particular moment that you said, "She's right. I really do need to share this story." How did that influence your decision to actually publish?
Well, that's a great question. So during my read, first of all, when I started taking notes, I wrote down the attributes I applied into my life during my healing journey at different points. And yes, I knew they helped me, but I had to do the research to figure out why. Yes, the gratitude journal made me feel better. That gratitude is one of them. But why? Why does gratitude make you feel better? Why does it help us? What does it do to our brain? And the research then shared with me the impact of what it does for anxiety, what it does for depression, what it does for PTSD, which is huge. So after I got done with my research, with each of my attributes, I learned, okay, this played a bigger role in my mindset, in my mental health and my emotional health than I ever had the idea. And then obviously I spoke with the counselor and they're like, oh my gosh, yes, you absolutely have to share this and the impact it has on mental and emotional health.
All right, now here's the big tricky question, Kathy. Oftentimes, when I coach someone that wants to write a memoir or they want to write a book such as yours, in hopes of helping other folks, sometimes there's still a bit of anger that's still connected into their story, and they have a tendency to want to throw some folks under the bus. I know I would. How did you write around that? That seems to be the biggest stopping point and the biggest hurdle that writers that are writing in that genre of helping folks through their trauma of not being so angry that they just want to, throw Uncle George under the bus. How do you write around that?
Well, that is a huge question. It is an important one, and it almost kept me from publishing for a couple different reasons.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
That's what keeps a lot of folks from publishing.
It does, and I get that. So, two part, my perpetrator was my stepfather, and my stepfather was deceased, I'm sorry. So I didn't have to worry about that, but what I did have to worry about that was key for me was anybody that was still alive from my stepfather's family. And then also, there's another layer to my story. Yes, I'm a survivor of long-term child sexual abuse for 6 years, but my parents divorced when I was one. My father remarried, and 6 weeks out of the summer, I would spend it with my dad and my stepmom. And my stepmom was abusive, not sexually, but verbally. And it was an important piece of the story that I almost didn't put in there. And it was really hard to write around that because she was still alive and my dad was still married to her. And when my stepmother would get mad at me, she would pull my hair and excuse my language, but she would call me a goddamn brat more than she would ever call me Kathy. And she told me that I would never amount to anything in my life. And those are hard words to hear as a child. Why do I share that? It's the reason I never told my father what was happening by my stepfather. Because I believed what was happening to me was because I was bad and I deserve it because that's what kids think. And then I would go to my dad and stepmom's house and think like, okay, I'm going to tell my dad. And then I would get in trouble and my stepmother would call me this. And so then, as a child, you internalize, wow, I am bad. I must deserve all of this. Why would I ever tell anybody? Because it would only create more shame. So there is a chapter in my book about my stepmother. I rewrote that chapter 5 times. And I'm going to explain that. And this is important for authors to hear. Both, I had two different editors, and both of my editors told me that, Kathy, you've got to explain this piece of the story. It's so important because otherwise people are going to walk away going, why didn't she tell her dad? Why didn't she tell her dad? Why didn't she tell her dad? So I needed to share it. But at the same time, how do I share this piece without totally turning her into a monster, but yet being honest? And it was complex. And so I softened it and softened it and softened it because the whole point of my story was not demonstrating that she was this horrible person. The whole point was words matter when you're speaking to children. Words matter always, especially if kids are undergoing trauma. And that's what I had to focus on, not what she did. And it was hard. It was incredibly hard. And then I had to take it to an attorney. And the publisher that you and I worked with, they had an attorney and they were so kind. And that was the only part of my book that I was worried about. And they asked me to send the chapter and I did. And they immediately responded and said, Kathy, you have nothing to worry about at all. The way you wrote this is beautiful. Considering what you went through, she didn't even charge me anything for reading that chapter. So it's complex. And I'm going to follow that with saying, after I published my book, I knew it wouldn't have a great response with my father. And I'm going to go backwards for just a minute.
Sure.
And this is important just to people to think about when they're writing. But one of the reasons it was super hard for me to publish is because my dad still didn't know. We never told my father. This is in my book, and let me explain why. Yes, we reported. Yes, we reported to Children's Services, but we didn't prosecute. And I go deeper in this in my book, but the reason we didn't prosecute was because back then, this was several years ago in the 1970s, unfortunately, they put children's names in the newspaper, and you had to get on the stand and they publicize it. And the amount of shame I felt at 12 years old was so immense. And I couldn't imagine. You want to be liked and loved so bad. And what will my friends think of me? What will my neighbors think of me? What will people think about me? And at 12 years old, I knew if we publicized this, I knew my dad would sue for custody. And I knew he would likely win because my mom worked nights, which is why this happened to me. And I knew I didn't want to go from one form of abuse that just ended to another form of abuse with my stepmother. And that's why we never prosecuted. So I had to tell my 80-year-old father for the very first time that his daughter was abused and he didn't know. And I could tell you, I'd rather stand in front of 10,000 strangers and share my story now, as hard as it was to go tell my dad. And it was rough. A tremendous amount of tears. And then, obviously, then the other journey was when my stepmother would read that chapter in my book.
I was going to ask, what happens once you're published and your dad and your stepmother read the chapter? Was there any backlash at that point?
A little bit. And so my dad and stepmom did not talk to me for 6 months. But I reached back out to my dad on his birthday. He did pick up and we worked through it. My dad has since passed and I don't have a close relationship, my stepmother, but we do talk and we're friendly. And I believe it or not, I really took the high road. I wrote her a letter after my book was published and she was upset. And I told her, I said, the point of this chapter was not to demonize you. This is not to demonize anybody. The point in this chapter was how much words matter and what happens to children when they are going through trauma and how they view everything that happens to them. And it allowed a conversation just between the two of us to at least stay connected in a small form. But other than that, it was okay, but it was rough. It was rough. I'm not going to lie. It's hard, but yet I knew The purpose in this book and the mission was far more important than my fear and what was going to happen.
Wow, Kathy, that's huge. And again, that's usually the stopper for most folks that I'm coaching that want to write either a memoir or a story like yours. That's usually the biggest stopper, is the fear that the family is going to totally turn against them, because nobody likes to hear, you know, something that they did wrong, or even something that a family member thinks they did wrong. And so that's a tough one. So now you've got your story. You've decided after your research that you need to get published. You're writing, you've sent this chapter out, you know, at this point, and I probably don't have that in the correct order, because I think you found the publisher before you sent your chapter out to the attorney. But how did you actually find or decide who you wanted to use to publish this work for you?
I originally thought I would do traditional publishing, and I had reached out to a couple of people, sent my manuscript, did not get a response. But during that time, I had connections with a couple different people through Author Academy Elite. As Kathy knows, that's how we met each other. And then I looked into self-publishing, because I truly thought, when I didn't get those first couple responses with traditional, I thought I would do self-publishing. But I had never been a publisher. I had never written a book. I didn't know where to start. I had rough ideas. Yes, I could do the research. But the gift for me and why I went collaborative publishing is because they gave me a blueprint. Mm-hmm. I had a blueprint to follow. And that was important. That was critical. So I paid that upfront fee for that blueprint, but then the gift in return is I owned all royalties to my books. I own all rights to my books. I can do whatever I want with my books. And I wanted that. So for me personally, it was the gift right in the middle. And interesting enough, after I picked my collaborative publisher, then I don't know why this is, but then I heard from a traditional publisher. But at that point, I didn't want to change gears, because this was important for me to own the rights to my story.
I love that. Now, explain a little bit, because I know you did the research. So explain to our listeners, those that are on today, and then maybe those that are going to listen to the replay later, what was your process in finding that collaborative publisher? Because I'm working with one as well. Explain your process in finding that collaborative publisher, and what were your... what were your search points? What was it you were looking for? Did you have some must-haves, a list of must-haves when you're looking? And here's what I want to say to those that are listening. When I said there's traditional on one end and there's self-publishing on the other, and you've got a million and one hybrids in the middle, there's not good or bad. It's just what you don't want to do versus what you're willing somebody else to do for you. When it comes to those in between collaborative type publishers. And so I chose one that includes all the editing, because I didn't want to pay separate for editing. So that was a point that was important to me, was to have the editing piece included in their price point. What were the important things to you, Kathy? What was, other than owning all your rights, and that's an important one too, but what were some other important points for you when you were searching for that collaborative publisher?
Well, I'm going to be completely honest. That process of the collaborative went fairly easy. I actually had my editor first. So okay. It was someone that I knew, and she was an editor. That's what she did for a living. And she was wonderful. And as we worked through the process, she and I was trying to find a publisher. She's the one that knew someone else who wrote a book with this publisher.
Okay.
And so I hate to say it was in some ways easy, but I did look up a few other companies when I Googled collaborative publishers, or what other options between traditional and self-publishing are out there. Then I had a meeting with that person. They led me to this publisher. And then I Googled them and researched them and how they go through their process. And then I went through the interview process with them. So I'm just being honest that I didn't look too hard other than just beyond who else out there has a collaborative publishing company.
So it came to you more as a referral.
It did, completely.
Now, and again, mine came to me as a referral. So for again, for those of you that are listening, sometimes you don't even know where to start. And Sylvia's question is, please explain collaborative publishing. Sylvia, it's that in between traditional and self-published. It's where a publisher will create a company and they simply package together what you're going to get for their price point. And then you have to decide, are these things that I'm going to get, like editing, book covers, ISBN numbers, physically uploading the manuscript into the online publishing places. The question you have to answer for yourself is which of these things are important enough for me to pay for versus for me to do on my own as a self-publisher? Because when you self-publish, like Kathy said, you have to go back and figure it out. You have to do your research if you've not done it before, you know, and you kind of you know it can be done because obviously there are thousands of people doing it. So you know it can be done, but then you have to ask yourself, where do I start? Where do I start? How do I know how to put the manuscript together? How do I know how to upload it? And so you have to make a decision early on. How much of this do I want to figure out? And how much of this do I just want to pay somebody that already has it figured out? Kathy, comment.
I do. I want to add to that. And I tell you what I loved about who I went with, and this is for anybody out here, I was not technology savvy at all before I started this. I was a hairstylist and I really didn't know how to manage and store and the my OneDrive. And so there was so much I had to learn. But the gift of the blueprint, and when I say blueprint, it was literally step by step by step, where to start, what to write down to bring value to how you're writing. I mean, even if I had already written my story, but for those who hadn't written your story, it gave incredible descriptions of how to start writing that. And then once you've written it, then how to find your editor. Obviously, they had their own editing company. I already had mine, so I didn't need that, but they also had that. And then uploading it was step by step by step by step. It was so descriptive and it was so helpful. And for someone like myself that wasn't technology savvy, that was huge.
And for you, because you chose this route with the blueprint, you now have published 7 books. Yeah. So you didn't have to stop with one. Whereas, let's say that, and I'll go back to Sylvia's question. Let's say that you choose a company that does everything for you for this big ticket. They go, you just give us, I'm just going to make this up. You just give us $10,000 and send us your manuscript and we'll do it all. We'll edit it. We'll do the design, we'll do the inside, we'll do all of that, and for one flat fee. And then when you want to publish another book, the question is, do you have to pay another $10,000? Probably, because they're going to do all of that again for you. Whereas Kathy choosing this one, and Debbie asked, what is the blueprint? Because Kathy chose one that gave her a blueprint, and all it is, it's kind of a step-by-step course, if you will, or a map to follow. It just said, here's step one, here's step two. And if she just followed the steps, she was going to end up published at the other end. And so here's my point. And again, you've got the traditional, you've got the self-publishing, and then you've got a million and one of these hybrids in the middle. And so that's why you have to do your homework. And like Kathy, I didn't know where to start. How do I determine whether it's even a scam or not? And so that's why it was so important for me to get a referral to one of these publishers that folks that I already knew, like, and trusted had already used this publisher. And so I then was willing to, you know, write the check because again, the one that I went with did all the stuff for me that I didn't want to learn or didn't have time to learn how to do. And I ended up being published. And so they're not bad. And a lot of folks are like, oh, no, if they're not traditional, stay away. They're all scams. They're not all scams, but there are a lot of scams out there. So that's why you have to really go, in my opinion, make sure that there's some good references and good referrals there. Kathy, comment.
Well, and I would also add to that. So, what was great for mine is I had that blueprint. So, my first book, I am incredibly honored to say that that book, the mission within the book, went on to win 4 international awards. And thank you. Because of that, I've been able to go out and speak which I've been very blessed with. But during one of my speaking engagements, I'm going to share why I'm coming to this that matters with that blueprint. Someone in the audience said, Kathy, I think one of the most powerful parts are your attributes that you used and how they help mental and emotional health. With the crisis with our children, why would you not take that and turn them into children's books? Long story short, how I went from 1 to 7 is because in May, I published a series of children's books that are the 6 attributes from my first book. And I was strongly encouraged to do that by a pediatric psychologist, counselors, and teachers. But here's my point with that. Here's the cool part. When I got that blueprint, not only did it have it for the self-help book that I was originally doing, in that was a blueprint for children's books. So like Kathy said, I didn't have to go back and repay another fee. I already had that blueprint to walk through for the children's books, which was definitely different than my first book.
So now I want to segue just a hint because, and I'm going to ask Kathy some pointed questions here in a moment about her actual writing process, but I want to segue for just a moment and just give a little overview of marketing. What I am seeing in Kathy is that she took this first book. She then, because she had the referral, you know, to this publisher that had this blueprint type option, she was able then to reuse it and publish even more books and create an actual business out of her books, where now she is an inspirational speaker and she can travel and actually market all of this as a package. And am I correct? You also have a workbook where folks can use this in their own small group settings and go through a workbook. Am I correct about that?
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. The children's books. Yeah. So the children's books come with resource guides in the back. And because of that, I am in the process of becoming vendors for local schools. I'm currently a vendor for the Columbus City Schools, and we're working on getting the books in the schools because they qualify for social and emotional learning. My first book does come with a workshop that I can do to help guide people through to adopt it a little bit faster. So, but yes, the children's books for sure.
So you can see where Kathy has actually made an entire business out of her books. And Sandy and I talk about this all the time. Books are business. Books are a business. And that's why you want to make a book and create a book that actually gets some traction out there and gets that readership. And I meet folks, again, when I'm coaching, I meet folks that say, well, how do you make money writing books? Well, that's a tough one, because I don't know if you visited Amazon or your local bookstore lately, but there are thousands of books to choose from. So getting yours seen and actually creating income for yourself, you have to be a little more creative these days. And I love that Kathy has actually turned her books into a business. I'm going to ask her a couple of pointed questions about writing, and then we're going to let everyone know how to connect with her. Kathy, another question for you about the whole writing process. Did you actually plot out your first book to make sure that you met all the high points, or did you just start writing your story and then try to put it in some kind of order second? So what came first, the outline and then the book, or the book and then you put it in the correct order?
Great question. So I, again, being completely honest, I had a very unorganized pile of index cards where I had taken all of my notes. So the first thing I did was organize those index cards. And from the index cards, I did start to do the outline. And with that outline, I knew I wanted to do a small section on my story. Again, not graphic, but important for people to see it through the eyes of the child. And then I wanted to share the why. Why write my story now? Why tell my story now? So I dive into that. And then the healing. What did I actually do? And then I finished it off with my conclusion to a call to action for parents, grandparents, anybody out there, things they can do to help children and for survivors. So outline, then started writing and took it slowly. And I would literally spend, again, I would allot certain days that I knew I wanted to write. And I found that place in my home where I felt like I could focus, where I
What
was.
was that place in your home?
Believe it or not, it was my dinette looking outside. We do have woods behind us, and I love seeing the trees outside. So I would just sit and know that I could have the trees and nature behind me while I would write. So, but again, for me, outline first.
Okay. I tried writing without the outline. I finally, just tossed all of that and started over with the outline. It's much easier for me. So, but everybody writes a little differently. My
Absolutely.
my question to you, do you have a certain time of day that you did your writing or just when the inspiration hit you? Again, were you working full time and trying to write this story? I mean, there's all kinds of things that jump in the way when you're trying to write.
Absolutely. So I was still working at the time, 3 very long days, but what I would write on my days off. And for me personally, this is just me, everybody's different. For me, my best time was between 10 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon. And I would mark that time out and I knew I could write. And then in the afternoon, I would focus on life, house stuff, just whatever else needed to be done. And my other career. But for me, that was the best time. I did try a couple times in evening. And I know for some people that works fantastic. For me, I was starting to get tired, and kind of that mid-morning was my best time.
I think we all kind of have that internal time clock that we know when our best time of day is. Mine is first thing in the morning. If I can sit and write for a couple of hours before my crazy day takes over, that's the best time for me. But everybody has a different time. And yours was just at your dinette looking outside, Yep, I get it. I'm in the corner of my kitchen. So like you, I'm looking out over bird feeders and I've got white squirrels in my yard that come visit me every morning. So I love to sit in the corner and my kitchen has like Debbie's been to my house, Sally's been to my house. It's got two windows right in the corner and my office desk is right there. So like you, I love to look outside while I'm writing. It gives my mental, I get a little bit of a mental rest if I just relax and look outside for a few minutes in between writing. So I love that. Kathy, how can folks get in touch with you? And then also put that in our chat and make sure you click to everyone. But how can folks connect with you if they want to?
They can connect by email. I'm Kathy Studer. I'll put that in here. KathyStuder4@gmail.com or my website, KathyStuder.com.
Yeah, nice and easy. Yes. And in the meantime, do anyone on the call, do you have any questions for Kathy? And again, or for me or Sandy or Sally, be as detailed as you'd like. We'd love to help answer your questions. Yes, Debbie.
Kathy, I have your book and it's amazing. From
Aww.
the last time Kathy, that yeah, ooh, that's tough. The last time Kathy had you on. But what I just wanted to mention or just comment on is I just got back from a trip to New York last night, and I went down a lot of memory lanes while I was there. And I know what I want the cover for my memoir book to be. And my daughter says it's creepy, but it's what I think. But the fact is that I went through the same thing you did. And the houses that I grew up in are still there. Except the last one, which was the worst one, which, kind of thinking about it now, it kind of reminds me of Forrest Gump. But anyways, do you find going back and looking at places helpful? I don't know, because see, I grew up in Buffalo, New York, outside of that. So I just was wondering, because for me, I have a, even though I'm 70 years young, I still have a very vivid memory of what things look like.
I don't think a lot of people fully understand that because when I was in the middle of writing my book, the Me Too movement started. And I heard someone say, and I did address this in my book, someone said in a not nice way, why tell your story now when it's been 20 years, 25 years, 30 years? What's the point? What's the point of telling your story? And it's a huge point. And here's what I say to people. Number one, saying out loud starts to create a resolution in the brain. So trauma creates, unfortunately, damage to the brain, which is why mental health consequences are the number one co consequence for anyone who has suffered trauma. So saying it out loud is a shift in the brain for a positive, for healing. Number two, you finally learn you're not alone. Knowing you're not alone is massive. There is strength in numbers, and everyone deserves to be seen, to be valued, to be heard. And that is why it is so important to get that story out there. And yes, I do think it's healing to go back to those places because one of the things I share in my book, the whole point is moving through the trauma. If we keep it stuffed down inside, if we keep it quiet and we never share and we never talk about it, number one, how can we even begin to understand the consequences and the numbers unless we talk about it? Healing happens when we talk about it. When we go back and see it, it can be hard, it can be traumatic, it can be triggering. But the gift is you've then taken another step forward to move through. And I think that's so important as A, we work through our healing, and B, as you write your story.
I guess I'll have to have a Zoom call with you. That would be a great help for me when
Sure,
I
I'd be happy
can.
to. Yeah.
The cover I'm temporarily think, well, what I'm kind of focusing on is the house where I was a toddler, 3 years old, where it started. It has a bedroom window. And I can always see I could always see the street in front of our house. And now that I can go back and look at the house this way from the street side, I haven't decided yet whether I want to have the cover of the child looking outside to me or me looking into the window at the child in the window. And I know that might, like I said, my daughter says it sounds creepy, but in a way, I mean, that's the way it started, and that's the way I view it as that was then and now. So I don't know, but that's kind of, and I have the pictures, like I said, I have very vivid memories of what the room. The house apartment looked like and everything. So I know what it was like having my little bed in front of that window to look out.
Well,
So
Debbie, my point is don't minimize those intuitions. I think you're on to something there. Obviously, that's what resonates with you, which is gonna resonate with your readers. Hang on to that vision, and you might adjust it by the time you publish to something a little different, but hang on to that vision is that's my thought.
I will. Thank you. And
I would agree, and I would add to what Kathy said, because my original vision of what I had for my cover is not what I did at all. And I'm glad because where I landed was much better. So
yeah,
give
right.
yourself the time as you, and it may evolve even after you've completely done writing the story, it may evolve to something else. Or you during your writing, you may come across some research where something else pops up. So I agree. Don't, that may not be where you land.
Well, I got to tell you, I was back there 6 years ago, And this was a whole different atmosphere of remembering things and memories, family, history, everything. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Well, writing is not easy, even for those that are avid writers. It's hard work, and you have to make the decision that you're going to do it, and find a plan that fits you to get to the finish line. And Kathy, one last question. Did you ever think during the whole writing process, did you ever wake up any particular day and think, oh, maybe I won't do this? Did you ever think about
Yes.
throwing in the towel?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Did I say yes? Just real quick, let me share. I honestly didn't. Again, the fear of being afraid of what people would think of me, what would they say about me? The fear of telling my father, the fear of trying to figuring out how to publish. And what that would all lead to, there were a lot of fears. And I want to finish with this. And I was home one day and I was very concerned about moving forward. And Robin Roberts was being interviewed on TV. And she shared one of her quotes that I love that I had to put in my book. And here's what I know. I was meant to hear that quote that day. And here's the quote: make your mess your message. And that's what I was meant to hear. And that was my sign that, Kathy, you've got this. The mission is bigger than your fear. The purpose is bigger than your fear. You need to do this. It is time.
Wow. Kathy, thank you so much. I hope that we have inspired some listeners today to continue to write, if you're writing your story, to continue to write your story. Please connect with me, connect with Sandy, connect with Sally, and by all means, connect with Kathy Studer if she can help and assist you. And Kathy, as our free gift to you, we are putting you in our speakers cabinet after today. I'm going to send you all the links, and hopefully, anyone that's listening, if you need someone to be on a podcast or you need someone that you'd like to interview, Kathy would be available. So please take that into consideration. I want to say thanks to everybody for coming on today. This has been a great call. We're just a few minutes over, but I don't think anybody minded because the message was so impactful and powerful. And Kathy, thank you so much for
Well,
being with us today.
it was an honor. Thank you. Thank you.